Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Now, as we read, keep in mind the obvious phrase, foot washing, foot washing. Let's read John chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have not given you an example that you should do it, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Well, there's no doubt that we all want to be happy in our Christian life. And so he said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. If you do them. Okay. Foot washing. Now, some have made this an actual doctrine and ordinance of their churches. Not many, but some have. It's not set down as an ordinance. It's set down as an example in verse 15. The ordinances of the church are obviously the Lord's Supper, and believers' baptism following salvation. And Jesus Christ gave his disciples an example of service to one another. The example that he used here was foot washing. But let's see what this example entails. First of all, foot washing entails, or is an example of, hospitality. In other words, this is something that he's showing them that they should do, one to another. It's an example of hospitality. Now, it goes all the way back. We'll find an example in the Old Testament to show you a couple of examples in the New Testament. Look in Genesis chapter 43, verse 24. Genesis chapter 43, and look at verse 24. When Joseph's brothers came to Egypt, still not knowing who Joseph was, and they were going to eat with him, Joseph's steward of the house took care of Joseph's brothers. In Genesis 43:24, the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. Now, this man didn't actually wash their feet for them, but he gave them the water to wash their feet, you know, wearing sandals and traveling out there in the desert and through the country and all that. Their feet, of course, would be dirty, and this gave them an opportunity to clean up. It's an example of hospitality. Look in Luke chapter 7. Now, here's an extreme example of hospitality. This woman didn't have any water to wash Jesus' feet, so she used her tears. Luke chapter 7, look at verse 44. Jesus Christ is talking to his host, a fellow named Simon, who had a thought about this woman that came to anoint Jesus' feet. And he was thinking in his heart that Jesus Christ wouldn't allow himself to be touched by this woman. If he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner, see? Now, Jesus Christ, in instructing this Pharisee, said in Luke chapter 7, verse 44, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet. So he didn't extend to Jesus Christ hospitality. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You know, when Paul was qualifying for Timothy the types of widows that the church could actually help, he sort of laid down a list of qualifications, guidelines, things they ought to look for a woman that, you know, really deserved the help of the church. And among other things, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10, she was to have washed the saints' feet. The Bible says, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, and so forth and so on. So foot washing throughout the Bible was always an example of hospitality. Now for us, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, as his children, we should be given to hospitality. That is, we ought to open our homes and allow others of our friends that are saved people to come and put their feet under our table and enjoy bread with us together. Now, you're not going to ask them when they come to the door wearing socks and shoes and they haven't soiled their feet to take their socks and shoes off so you can wash their feet. Matter of fact, their feet might stink and be better off left inside the socks and shoes. However, in some countries, it's customary for the people to take their socks and shoes off, or their shoes off, and walk around in their sock feet. We've visited friends in various countries when we've gone to mission fields, and it's customary to do that. Well, if our feet had been soiled, then it would have been customary as likewise to wash the feet. It's just an example of hospitality. Hospitality. And we ought to be given to hospitality. Ought to open your home there to children of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, not only that, foot washing is not only an example of hospitality, foot washing is also an example of humility. Now, in verse 3 of our text, John chapter 13, verse 3, we know that Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands. Well, if God gave him all things into his hands, then he is personally the supreme commander of the universe. Not only that he was come from God and he went to God. You know what? He's God Almighty, a manifest in the flesh. Now this man girded himself with a towel and then began to serve his disciples. And in verse 16, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So you're not greater than the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ set an example here for you and for me of humility. And that's a good example because the temptation is not to be humble. The temptation is to be proud and let other people wait on you. You know, it's a funny thing, but I've noticed in churches that, you know, and particularly in a larger church, you've got to get people to help in the ministry, to minister to each other. And sometimes in order to convince somebody to help you, you got to give them a title. And all of a sudden when they get a title like Sunday school superintendent, da-da-da-da-da-da, or deacon, or worse yet, head deacon, or they get the title of, whatever, treasurer, or some committee head, all of a sudden, it changes their personality. Now, this doesn't always happen. You know that. But it happens often enough to take note that some people are baited into a job by being guaranteed a title, and as soon as they have the title, they like to go around, and all of a sudden their demeanor and disposition is a little bit different. They're somebody. I'm the trustee of the church. Well, then serve, because you're not greater than Jesus Christ. Why is it that you want recognition? Why is it that you expect the peons in the church to do all the work, and you get to lord it over them and tell them what to do, since you're the big decision maker now? You see how it goes? Now, like I said, that doesn't always happen. And just because those titles are available in another church and somebody you know has a title like that doesn't necessarily mean they've turned out that way. But as I said, it's happened often enough that it's worthy of note. Now, Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 21, what happened is the mother of Zebedee's children came with her sons, and Jesus said, "What do you want? What wilt thou?" She saith unto him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom." Well, every mother wants her sons to succeed. And she was not ashamed to ask the right and left hand for John and James. But that wasn't the way it was going to work out. And Jesus Christ used this as an opportunity to teach a lesson. Because, in verse 24, when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. That's a wrath. That's an anger, boy, that's hot over a particular something that happened. Indignation. Verse 25. Jesus called them unto him and said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." So, if you have aspirations of becoming a big shot for the Lord, then your qualification is how much you are willing to minister and how much you are willing to serve God's people and the Lord God. Look in Mark chapter 9, verse 35. It's not how much recognition you can get. That was the trouble with the Pharisees. They sought honor one from another. They loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. Don't let it go to your head. If God has given you the gifts to be able to do something of authority or power or ministry in your church, then serve. See? Mark chapter 9, verse 35, "He sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." Now, Paul certainly had this attitude. And he reminded the Corinthian church that he had this attitude, and I'm sure that here's where he wrote it, but he probably said it to others as well. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and look at verse 5. The Bible says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So that was Paul's attitude. He wasn't looking for accolades. He wasn't looking for recognition. He simply came with the attitude of preaching Jesus Christ and serving the people that he preached to. Now, there are men, and they're not in every church visible, but almost every church. And sometimes they're in every church, it just hasn't come upon them yet, or it hadn't happened yet, but there are in nearly every church men who aspire to greatness. And one of the greatest positions that they can hope to hold is to be able in some way to control the preacher, either through a deacon body or a board of trustees, or maybe just through wives getting to be good friends and then getting the preacher's ear. Doesn't make any difference how they go about doing it. And they set themselves up to try to get the preacher to serve them and their wishes. Now, a dear friend of mine told me one time that oftentimes these are wealthy men who have been called to preach. And since they didn't answer the call because they liked their wealth and wanted to stay in their business, they hang around churches and link up to another man's ministry and befriend him in order to get control of him. And matter of fact, the fellow that told me that is the guy that trained me in the ministry. He wrote a book and wrote that stuff down. And that's because he'd seen it in his own life a number of times. So when we say that the example the Lord Jesus Christ was laying down for you is, in this foot washing, an example of humility, it's not a humility to where you've got to answer to somebody like that in your church. Paul talked about this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said, "Do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." So be careful if you're in the ministry for somebody like this who's going to put you under his thumb by association. Paul said, you're not to please that man, or else you're not going to be the servant of Christ. You know the verse. No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other. Now look again in Ephesians chapter 6 and notice how to handle this. Ephesians chapter 6, if you find that you've got an element like that in your church, you still don't have to kowtow to it. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells you exactly how to handle it in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. He says, when you're a servant, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So don't put yourself under that situation. If you happen to be listening to this broadcast today and you find yourself being one of those men who likes having authority and somebody under your throne, let me tell you something. You're putting that man or that woman under a situation where they've got to serve you and not the Lord, and it's not going to work out good for you in the long run at all. Give it up. Give it up. This foot washing had nothing to do with you putting your finger over somebody so you could get control of them. Jesus Christ didn't do that here. So this foot washing is an example so far of two things. Number one, hospitality, and number two, humility. Humility. But not only that, it's an example of love. It's an example of love. Look at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. It's an example of love. And I'm telling you the truth. Today there is an awful lot of conversation about love, but very little demonstration of love. There's a lot of talk of love, but very little demonstration of love. And the reason for that is that there's iniquity. Iniquity abounds, and because of iniquity, the love of many waxeth cold, Jesus Christ said. Easy to say, hard to do. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, look what Paul said. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, watch it, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So Paul said in Galatians that we were by love to serve one another. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He loved them and he told them that he loved them. And then he demonstrated his love by serving them. And you know, Jesus Christ was getting ready to die. He knew it. He knew that his hour had come. And he did this example. And then he said in John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now he gave them example of that in foot washing. So you and I don't need to worry about telling everybody that we know how much we love them. We need to demonstrate the love of the Lord God in our hearts by actually doing those things that prove our love. Jesus Christ did. He laid down his life, proving his love, and he served, proving his love. Somehow or another, people get the idea that people ought to, you know, it's kind of this attitude, you need to serve me. That's not so. Love one another. Serve one another in love. By this shall all men know you that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. Okay, so the foot washing in John chapter 13, he told him, he said, now you're not going to understand this right now, Peter. He says, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And then he left the example, an example of hospitality, an example of humility, an example of love, and then this, an example of long-suffering. Look at verse 2. Long-suffering. Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, what Jesus did right here, he did in spite of the fact that somebody was going to betray him. Now, Judas was gone. He was gone. He went. He left. But you know, that would be a very terrible thing to know that you had given somebody the power to heal lepers and or cleanse lepers and heal the sick and make the blind to see and raise the dead and all that kind of stuff. And then have that very person go out and betray you. That'd be hard to deal with. He knew it was going to happen, but once it happens, it's hard to deal with. Not only that, but in verses 8 to 10, Peter said, you know, if you wash, he said, don't wash me. He said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. He said, well, then my feet, my hands, my head. The Lord said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Ye are clean, but not all. Now, Judas Iscariot betrayed him, but you know what? These other disciples forsook him. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall flee. They forsook him that night. And in spite of that, he went ahead and washed their feet anyway. Why? Because he was long-suffering with the betrayal. He was long-suffering with their forsaking of him that night. You know, it's not hard for somebody to love somebody that loves them back, but it's very difficult for somebody to love somebody that's fixing to stab them in the back and to love somebody who's getting ready to leave them high and dry. How many people that are in the ministry have quit just because of a backstabber? A number. I know of a number of people, or I've heard of a number of people, I don't necessarily know them personally, who have quit the ministry or given up in doing, you know, a pastorate work to go do something that didn't involve people because they'd been stabbed in the back and they were sick and tired of it. Jesus Christ was stabbed in the back, per se, by Judas Iscariot and forsaken by his own disciples and betrayed by Peter, this one he got into these three verses with. In Acts chapter 13, verse 13, Paul and Barnabas are traveling with John Mark in Acts chapter 13, verse 13, and John Mark defected. He cut out on them. In Acts chapter 13, verse 13, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. He cut out on them. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 10, Paul had to write to Timothy and said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 to 15, he was betrayed by Alexander the coppersmith. Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Even the apostle John had to deal with the likes of a man called Diotrephes. And he described him in 3 John 9. He said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds, which he doeth prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. You know what? Jesus Christ washed their feet in spite of the fact that they were getting ready to cut out on him, despite the fact that Peter was getting ready to deny him. Paul the Apostle stayed in the work despite John Mark's defection, despite Demas's turning back to the love of the world, despite Alexander withstanding them with malicious words, despite Diotrephes refusing the brethren. They stayed in it. You know what? They're an example to us. Paul said, when he gave his answer in Caesar's court, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Boy, wow. You know, I pray that you've taken some encouragement out of that. You know what? You might be out of church right now, quit because somebody in there badmouthed you, didn't cut you some slack, didn't give you the recognition thought you were due. You might have cut out on church because somebody said something behind your back and somebody else believed it and you couldn't stand the malicious words. You know what Jesus Christ showed you by that example of foot washing? Don't give up. Continue to serve in spite of the fact that they'll cut and run and backstab you. Stay with it. Just like Paul did, just like John did, just like you're supposed to do. There'll always be backstabbers. There'll always be those who will forsake you. There'll always be those who talk bad behind your back. Don't give up. Don't grow callous. Continue to serve. The foot washing of John chapter 13, then, is an example not only of hospitality and humility and love, but long-suffering. That you're going to have to put up with it and work through that in spite of those things. And not only that, but it's an example to follow. An example to follow. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 13, verses 14 and 15 and 17, he said, "If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done." You want to be happy in your Christian life? Verse 17, "If you know these things, happier if you do them." It reminds me of what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, Paul said this, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So one thing for us to see these examples of hospitality, humility, love, long-suffering, an example to follow, but then it's altogether another example for us to do the same thing. So another example for us to do the same thing. Can you do it? Can you do it? Would you do it? Would you be willing to serve as a minister to God's people in hospitality and humility and love and long-suffering and willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? I pray that you will. And if you dropped out because somebody backstabbed you or talked bad behind your back, I pray that you will get back into the race and continue to serve and minister to God's people. God knows we need ministers today.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.